This is Julie Hewitt, the chair of the Pacifica National Board. This is the regular PNB meeting for Thursday, September 7th, 2023. It is 8:44 p.m. on the East Coast, and I believe we have quorum. Nancy Sordner, secretary, would you mind calling the roll, please?
I sure will. Teresa Allen.
Present.
Adriana Casanave.
Present.
James Dingman.
Here.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Here.
Fred Dodsworth.
Yes, I am.
William Foster.
Here.
Okay. Sue Goodwin. Heather Gray.
Here.
Donna Grimes. Julie Hewitt.
I'm here.
Avelia Jones. Alexa. Marianne Martinez.
Present.
James McFadden.
Present.
Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Sean Rhodes.
I am here.
James Sagerton.
Here.
Sharon Salam.
I have a note from Sharon that she's asking for an excused absence.
Okay. Aki Tanaka.
Here.
Beth Van Gunten.
Here.
Egberto Willis. Sue Goodwin.
Here. Recording in progress.
I don't know. Can you hear me?
Got you now. Thank you.
Who was that?
Sue Goodwin.
Thank you.
Donna Grimes. Avelia Jones. Alexa. And Egberto Willis. Okay. 16 present. 4 absent. Stephanie Wells.
Here.
Nancy Sordon, I am here. Arthur Schwartz. Markeisha Vincent. Okay. That's it for the roll call.
Right. That brings us to the next item on the agenda, which is the report out from the second executive session of August 17th, 2023. The report out is the PNB met in closed session to discuss confidential personnel and contractual matters. Next up is excused absences. And as I said a moment ago, I definitely have a request from Sharon Salam for an excused absence. And
I move to excuse Ms. Sharon Salam.
I second that. I also move to excuse everybody who's not there.
Okay, so hang on. So Sorry, this is vacation brain. I'm working it out in my head. So first we have a motion to excuse Jasharon that's been seconded. So Jim, actually what you need to do is make a motion to amend.
So I make a motion to amend to excuse everybody.
And I second that emotion.
Thank you, Fred. Is there any discussion of the motion to amend?
Adriana?
Go ahead, Adriana.
Yes, Madam Chair. We talked about that from the beginning of the year. We said that at least people can send
I can't notes. Hear.
Okay. Can you hear me better now? Can you?
A little no? bit.
Okay. Okay. What I'm trying to say is that we talked from the beginning of the year that people can have at least the consideration of send an email when they know that they will not be here. I think that it's not too much to ask for. That's why I only will vote to excuse the person that sent an email asking for an excuse absent. Thank you.
Point of information.
Yeah, go ahead, Fred.
Are we required to approve a request for excused absence?
We're not required to approve a request for an excused absence any more than we are required to. Let me put it this way. We have to take a vote on whether we are excusing absences. We can vote on excusing only the people who requested an excused absence, or we could vote on excusing everyone. I think where we would get in hot water is if we start selectively voting on some people who didn't request an excused absence, but not voting on other people, you know, excusing some who didn't request it and not others who
Thank
didn't
you
request
that clarification.
Yeah. Any other further discussion of Jim's motion to amend?
Hey, Jim?
Adrian has already spoken.
Oh, we have another chair. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Is there any other further discussion?
Yes.
Adrian, is your hand up again?
Yes. Yes, I'm sorry.
What did you not already say?
Yeah, I don't want to vote. I will not vote for the rest of the people. I think that will be easier if we vote, like I said, first for the person that asked for an excuse absent, and then the rest can vote for whoever they want. I don't want to excuse people that don't even make a phone call.
Understood. So right. I got you. So here's the point. Depending on what happens with, you know, the body owns the motion now, the motion to amend. And so it's up to the body to decide what to do. And so you may or may not get the opportunity, depending on what happens with the motion to amend, you may or may not get the opportunity to vote for only the people that you're interested in excusing. So we'll have to see in just a moment. So, Beth von Gutten.
Yes, a club question. I was wanted to ask, is Adriana moving to separate the two? She had started out with one motion. It was moved to amend it. She seems dissatisfied with that. So is she proposing that we separate what
yes.
she had moved from what from the other motion? Thank you.
Yes.
And Adriana is saying that she's well, now you're going to have to wait a minute, everyone, because will I find my cheat sheet?
Point of information, Chair?
Go ahead.
Were we not at the point of voting on an amended motion?
Well, so, but that's where, I asked if there was further discussion, and that's when Beth raised her hand to say, was Adriana not, in fact, instead of speaking about what she wanted to vote, was she not, in fact, voting asking to separate the two motions? In which case, then, I think the point is that if that's what Adriana is requesting in a motion to separate the two, then I have to find out, is there a second for Adriana's motion to separate?
I'll second. This is Beth.
All right. Okay, so now we're on the discussion of the motion to separate. And so, folks, I remind you, the only thing you speak to now is the motion to separate. So is there any discussion of the motion to separate? I see Beth and Sagerton. Go ahead, Beth.
And Fred.
Okay. I'm sorry. It's just I couldn't see your hand because your background color. But I got it now. Go ahead, Beth.
I understand and I appreciate Adriana's distinction she's making, and I don't see any harm in considering them separately. So I don't see any harm in accommodating her request. Thank you.
Sagerton.
Thank you. I think separating is for when there are multiple elements in a single motion that could be separated into individual motions. Here we have a single element in a motion, which is to excuse an individual. Then we have an amendment to that motion, which is to excuse everyone. So I think the normal process is you go to the amendment first. If that changes the main motion, then you go to that as the main motion. If not, you go to the original main motion. I don't think you can separate an amendment from a motion.
Thank you. Fred?
That's exactly the point, and that we are wasting our time on this is really, really offensive. I call the question.
Okay, so the problem with calling the question is which question is being called? Is it the motion to separate? Okay, so all right, I'm going to go to what I know. Go ahead, Nancy.
Point of order.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Point of information. Is Sagerton's discussion point a point of order that you have to rule on? Is he saying that it's out of order to separate an amendment from the main motion? And is that his? Is he making a point of order that you have to rule on?
Sure, hope so.
Sagerton, do you want to respond to that?
I made what is in essence a point of order without saying point of order, but so yes, we could take it as a point of order.
Okay. Then what I'm going to do with Sagerton's point of order is rule that, in fact, because I specifically asked Dingman, was he making a motion to amend, and he said yes, and then it was seconded, that's where we're at. And so so that's what we'll do. And so then the first thing, well, so my ruling is that first we vote on the motion to amend, and then we vote on the main motion, whether it's the original main motion or the amended main motion. In any event, folks, I think the outcome is the same either way here. So we'll see what happens. And Fred called the question.
I will call the question and allow you to go to vote.
Thank you.
Point of information, Madam Chair.
What's the point of information?
Madam Chair, I'm wrong with the Robert's Rule of Order said that you cannot gain the floor to and talk about the issue, and that this, and then when you finish, call the question. The only option that you have to call the question, if you just take the floor to call the question.
I took it back, so it doesn't matter, Adriana.
Madam Chair, please make the member to refrain themselves, and I'm not asking him. Thank you.
Thank you. Folks, let's try to keep this moving along. So.
Chair, point of information really
quickly.
Yeah,
what the hell? Oh. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I know, why not? That's okay. What the hell? So, I know we've talked about this a lot, but I thought everybody was supposed to sort of get some official notification saying if you don't let somebody know that it won't be excused. Did that ever happen?
No, it never happened.
Okay. So, okay.
I'm sorry, but it never happened. So, we're at the motion to amend. Is there any further discussion of the motion to amend? Hearing none. Are there any objections to the motion to amend?
Yes, Madam Chair, Adriana.
Okay. Were there, objections, other than Adriana's objection to the motion to amend?
I'm sorry, what is the motion to amend?
To change the motion to excuse the absence of Sharon to a motion to excuse the absence of all of those who are not present. And I will note that Avalia has joined us. If you'd like to speak up and acknowledge your presence, Avalia.
Thank you. I'm here.
Thank you. Okay. So,
Mark is present. Thank you.
Yep. Are there any objections besides Adriana's objection to the motion to amend? Hearing no other objections, Nancy, we'll call the motion to amend passed with one objection without going to a roll call vote.
Okay.
So that makes the motion, the original motion is now, or the main motion as amended is now what we go to. Do we need to have any further discussion of the main motion as amended? Hearing none, are there any objections to the main motion?
I want to be marked abstain.
Okay, gotcha, Adriana. Are there any other abstentions or objections to the main motion as amended? Hearing none, we'll consider the absences of those not present this evening excused with one abstention. Okay. Let's see. So the next item on the agenda is identifying timekeepers. Can I get a timekeeper for people?
I'll do that.
Thank you, Fred.
90 seconds.
90 seconds the first time they speak.
The second time?
The second time, we should go to 60 seconds.
Or 30.
Let's just go to 60 seconds. And what I will try to do is record who's spoken so that sorry, every once in a while when I come back from vacation, I have trouble just like speaking like a normal human being. We'll try to make sure that people don't speak twice on a matter until everyone else has been heard from, and so on and so forth. I need a timekeeper for items. Anyone? Someone?
Okay, I'll do it.
Thank you, Adriana. I appreciate that. And I'll try to call out how long each item is as we get to it. Okay, so next up is the agenda approval for the open portion of the agenda, which is a 5-minute item, Adriana. Let me run through it quickly. First thing up is approving minutes of open session. The next item is committee reports, and there's a report from each committee, and they're not all the same amount of time. Then we have an affiliates report, motion on community advisory boards from the Strategic Planning Committee, the ED report and Q&A, the General Counsel report and Q&A, although I'm not sure that Arthur has an open session report, and then unfinished business, new business, and then we move into executive session at a time certain of 10:50 p.m. I move the agenda. Can I get a second?
Again.
Thank you, Fred.
Question, a point of order. I don't know what you want. We had left something on the table at the last meeting, which was changing Stephanie's contract. Is that in the agenda?
Okay. So that's part of the closed session because
that's fine. We talk about no session.
So it's appropriate to ask that question when we get to the closed session, get in closed session and get to the closed session portion of the agenda. That was just a regular question. Any other discussion of the agenda for this evening?
Madam Chair.
Yes, go ahead, Teresa.
There was a request, I think, two meetings ago.
Sure.
That we, reconsider the status of Eric Jacobson on the KLSB. No one was designated to be the convener.
Yep.
And the three people that you requested to serve were myself, Vanessa Dixon Briggs, and Adriana Casanet. I see that people are asking about what this group has done. I have, other than having sent some things to, that I have received from, the secretary of the KPFK LSB or the two secretaries, we have not actually convened. And I don't know whether we should maybe put this at the top of the agenda for our next meeting or whether we should actually discuss it tonight further. So, and I could request any suggestions.
So we're on the agenda, right? And so the question is whether we should amend the agenda to add this item, to put it somewhere.
Yes.
We could just add it to the end of the, well, it's not technically speaking a committee. We could just technically add it to the end of, I mean, not technically. We could just add it after the committee reports. I mean, that would be somewhat appropriate, I think. Beth von Gutten.
Madam Chair?
Yeah.
May I address this issue?
I just called your name. That's why what I meant was for you to speak. I saw your hand.
I didn't hear you call my name.
Clear. It was a glitch in the electronics.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Audio.
Beth, go ahead.
Thank you. if Teresa would want to make a motion to designate it as an agenda item for next week, I would be happy to second that. I don't think that we're prepared to do as we should be to address it adequately here tonight. I have inquiries out for information too and have been having trouble getting that information. And if we could say that it was on the agenda and would be heard next week, it might help prompt responses. So, Teresa, would you, I'm glad that you brought this up. I was hoping to do it too. And I'm glad that you remembered that you with your idea to form that committee. And again, I'll put myself at the service of that investigative committee. So if you'd like to make that a motion, I'd be glad to second it.
So one thing I'll just point out quickly before you go there. We don't have a meeting scheduled for next week. We have a meeting scheduled for the 21st. So. But go ahead, Teresa, were you going to say something?
I'm Madam Chair for the agenda.
So, Madam Chair, Adriana. I'm going to move that we put this on the agenda for first thing for our next meeting. Maybe okay. before the committee reports at the
okay,
next
so,
meeting.
Okay, so yeah. So actually you don't have to move to make an agenda you don't have to make a motion to put something on the agenda for next time. You can just say, okay. Madam Chair, can you do that? And I'll just say yes.
All right. Thank you. That's what
How's
I would
that?
Like.
I mean, that's easier. And Adriana just pointed out that we were out of time. So if there's any further discussion of the agenda, we would need a motion to extend. Hearing no motions to extend, I assume that means there's no further discussion of the agenda. Are there any objections to the agenda? Hearing none, we'll consider the agenda approved for the open portion of the meeting. That takes us to the next item on the agenda, which is for 5 minutes, Adriana, and this is approving minutes from open sessions. Nancy, I don't know if we have any minutes for approval this evening.
No, I'm sorry. I'm working on them.
That's okay.
All my files are a mess because, you know, we're still in the middle of this move and nothing is like it used to be. So I don't know. Yeah. And I was away myself. So I'm.
Yep. Understood. Okay. So we'll keep moving then. And that brings us to committee reports. And so we'll just start at the top there. The audit committee report is for 3 minutes. I wrote this down the last time as Aki Tanaka speaking for Susan Young, who's the chair of the audit committee. Aki, is there anything to report from the audit committee?
No, I don't have anything.
May I say something?
Go ahead, Teresa.
Okay. I was at the meeting last night, and there was a request that we have a special meeting because the times for our meetings are not convenient for the NES. So in order to have her attend a meeting so we can ask questions,
point of order.
There is a request for special meeting. So that is one thing that is happening.
Point of order.
Hang on. Teresa, go ahead, Sean.
What Teresa is talking about is the elections committee. On the agenda right now is the audit committee.
Oh, yep. I'm sorry. I thought you said elections.
No, audit.
Said audit.
I'm very sorry. We'll get there in just a few minutes.
Thank you.
No worries. Beth, is your hand up about the audit committee? Is that a legacy hand?
Sorry, that's a legacy hand. Legacy.
I got you. Okay. Okay. So, nothing to report from the audit committee. Coordinating committee. Nancy, would you like to report for the coordinating committee?
Sure. A few of us met, but not quite enough to make quorum. So we set the next meeting for the last Thursday of September. Last Thursday of September. The next meeting.
Yep. Thank you. Any questions for the coordinating committee? All right. Next up is the finance committee, and this is a 10-minute item, in part because I thought there was going to be a motion. Sagerton?
There's no motion tonight, Chair. No report tonight. The only thing we have to say is that our next meeting is Tuesday, September 12th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern.
Thank you. All right. Any questions for Finance Committee? All right. Next up is governance committee, and that is Beth von Gunten, and this is a 10-minute item, Adriana. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. I don't think it'll take – am I muted? No, I'm not. Okay. No. It won't take 10 minutes. I did email a report twice before the meeting, and I just tried again now. And for whatever reason, the development task force report did go through, and the governance committee didn't. And so I've just sent it again, but to the secretary only, hoping that maybe with fewer recipients.
I'll forward it.
Let me know if it. Yes, thank you. Thank you.
I'll forward it to the PNB.
Perfect. Thank you. Pretty brief. the PNB Governance Committee held its regular monthly meeting on Wednesday, August 23rd, 2023, with 11 of 16 members present. One motion was brought forward, similar to other recent motions from elsewhere, to revise the contractual responsibilities of the executive director. Following discussion, the chair ruled the motion out of order, a ruling that was then challenged but upheld by the committee. The next regular PNB Governance Committee meeting will be Wednesday, September 27th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time, as posted to KPFTX. And that's it. Thank you.
Any questions for Beth and the Governance Committee? All right. Moving on. Next up is the Elections Committee, Aki, and this is a 10-minute item. If
we didn't make a quorum, but one main thing that came up in discussion is that main concern is to make sure that we get all the we meet the quorum. There's several stations that are way behind in their vote, so that is the main focus of the election committee, is how to get all of the members to vote, because right now we're sort of behind in making the quorum.
Great. Thanks, Aki. Adriana, see your hand?
Yes. I have a question, Madam Chair, for the election committee, Aki. Is any way, can we bring the national election supervisor? I'm really worried, not only because of the irregularities, but I'm worried that at least three of the directors that are here, Beth, Vanessa, and myself, we didn't receive our ballots yet. Is any way that the election committee will ask those questions to the National Election Supervisor and see what's going on?
Yeah, we have scheduled a meeting, I think, next Wednesday with the NES, I believe.
And I would just like to point out that, thank you. I asked the, NES if she wanted to give a report tonight, but, she was not available to do so. The other thing, that I wanted to point out, I think, is that the NES is in fact working with, station management to get announcements on the air, encouraging people to vote so that we make quorum, because, and this is an important thing for people to understand. If we have to extend the vote, it costs us more money. And this is, you know, this is not a time when we are flush with cash, and it's no big deal to, extend the vote. It is a big deal to us. So I ask everyone to do everything they can to get people they know to vote as soon as possible. And also, you know, if you're not hearing on-air announcements about, you know, voting and the deadline, you know, please call your station GM and ask them to, you know, play those announcements as frequent, you know, and encourage programmers to, you know, make announcements as frequently as possible, because, you know, this is the kind of thing that we can do that it doesn't cost us a dime to make those announcements over the air. And it could help save us money in the longer run.
I'm sorry. May I finish what I was saying, Madam Chair? Adriana?
I didn't realize that you weren't finished.
Yeah, well, I want to ask Mr. Tanaka to please be sure, because I send emails, but I prefer everybody knowing now in open session that I want to be in the next election committee. Like a director, I have the right to be and listen to that, be in that meeting. Is there any way that we can receive the information on time? And what will happen with the people before we have, for example, we can put write-in candidates. We can, if we didn't want, we didn't need to add people, rank people. Now, according to what Jim is saying, I hope that he's playing better, we are having that problem. I don't know because I don't have my ballots, but we want to know all of that. Thank you.
Thanks. I also wanted to point out, based on, the point that Adriana made earlier about, some directors who haven't actually received their ballot yet. There is a formal way, to let the NES know that you don't have a ballot. And that, okay. So now I'm going to try to look it up, and say it. Look it up quickly and say it out loud so that anyone who's listening will hear that. But people who don't have a ballot, who think that they should have a ballot, first thing to do is to look for an email that comes from the address invitations@mail.electionbuddy.com. And if you don't, you can request one on the elections.pacifica.org website. And if you don't have access to a computer, you can leave a voicemail on area code 213-635-9363. And you have to request a ballot, you know, with enough time to fill it out. And the elections are supposed to end on September 30th. Okay. I'll go back to the list of people. I see hands. I see Vanessa, then Teresa. I'll keep going. Vanessa.
Okay. So I wanted to say that I did announce at the very end of the Elections Committee meeting last night that I did get my ballot. I had gotten it the day before. It went to a different email address than Pacifica usually sends anything. So I didn't look in that email address because Pacifica is not even supposed to have that, but I did get it one day ago. So I was grateful for that. I attribute that to, Minerva Sanders, the, WPFW LSB chair, who researched the matter for me. So I appreciate that. Notwithstanding, there are other directors who still don't have their ballots, which is a concern. The other things, issues that we discussed at the Elections Committee last night had to do, one, with directors who don't have ballots and other people who don't have ballots, and that there are members all across the country who also have not received their ballots because they don't appear to be in the membership database. So I know that the PMB passed a sort of a motion to kind of do what we could, if we could, when we could, something to that effect. Don't know that anything has been done about it, but there was discussion about that. And the 90 other issue, seconds. And am I at my 90 seconds?
Correct.
Okay, I'll put my hand back up to speak for, because I want to finish my thought, another 60 seconds.
Teresa, you're next.
Okay, so this is the some of the things that I was going to mention have been mentioned. And I started when I started, but one was we want to have a special meeting because we would like some more specifics from the NES. Number two, we want frequent announcements on all stations of the need to vote for the LSB, the deadline to vote, and how to request a ballot if one has not been received, and also the importance of every person considering, are you a member? And if you are, you should have a ballot, so check on your membership, which means going to the phone number that you just mentioned and also the website. And the third item was a concern and desire for a report on the progress to deliver ballots per the requests. Like several people say, I didn't receive a ballot. And we'd like to know, for example, how many requests there were and how promptly we're responding to them, and how many people that requested the ballot, how many of those actually got, ended up a ballot, have confirmed that they've received the ballot, et cetera. So those are the three things that we want. And as soon as we get this meeting, well, I'm sure that there's going to be a meeting of the Secretary of the Elections Committee, and these things will be requested, and hopefully we'll have this meeting soon.
90 seconds.
Thank you.
Thanks. Next up is Dingman, then Beth. Go ahead, Dingman.
Hey. First of all, I want to thank Craig and Renee. They are working with the problem I've encountered. And as I mentioned to them, it could be my fault or it could be something in the software. I had a problem actually voting, period. But I think measures have to be taken tonight to prevent the extra costs. And one thing I think is important is to, someone can correct me on this from the Elections Committee, but are we limited in the amount of actual forums that can be on air in the bylaws in the election process? Is it a limit to 3 or 4 kind of debates that can be aired? Because I think that's one measure that's needed to basically make sure that by the end of the month, there's at least several candidate forum debates going on at each station. And I realize the trade-off is, okay, you put a candidate forum on and then it costs money. Because you can't raise money. On the other hand, what's the trade-off in terms of the cost of it extending? I'm wondering if someone has an idea as to what the cost is if we don't get quorum finished in terms of the expense to the whole foundation. Then I may offer a motion on this. But Julie, do you have any idea how much that would be? How
much the cost would happen? Move to extend 10 minutes. I'm sorry, Chair.
Yeah. No. I was just going to say, I don't know the answer. Stephanie does, but Vanessa, but we needed a motion to extend. So thank you, Vanessa and Beth. Are there any objections to the motion to extend for 10 minutes? Hearing none. We're extended for 10 minutes on this item.
Madam Chair, Ali Lexa is present.
Ah, thank you. Ali, would you like to speak up just to,
all right, so we, Alexa, are you here?
Yes, I'm here. Please excuse my tardiness.
Thank you.
No worries. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay. We're extended for 10. And so, Stephanie, do you know the answer to the question of how much it will cost us if we have to extend the elections?
I am looking it up because I thought I saw an email come through from Renee today that talks about a per day cost if we have to extend. So let me just dig through my
$325.
$325 a day.
Thank you, Darlene. Appreciate that. Yeah. So, and while, you know, $325 doesn't maybe sound like a lot of money. That's $325 that doesn't go to, for example, paying past debts if we have to pay, because this is non-negotiable. And then the other thing is we're not going to extend the elections for one day and magically make quorum. No, we're going to extend them for something like a week or 2 weeks. You know, because you have to give people an opportunity to understand what the new dates are. And of course, as soon as you extend it for a whole week, you know, now you're talking about $2,300 almost. And so if it's for 2 weeks, you know, then you're talking about almost $4,500. So, you know, so it's real money in Pacifica land. So Sagerton.
Madam Chair.
I'm sorry.
And I think she also stated that if one station is late, it's extended for all stations.
Yes, there's no, that's exactly correct. There's no, because of the way the vendor that we're using operates, if we extend it one station, we have to extend it all the stations. So it's not the case that voting ceases at some stations when quorum is reached and we only extend for some. So, Sagerton, you're next.
Thank you, Chair. I don't mean to quibble, but I think the number I saw for extending for each day was 350.
That's what I saw.
Yeah. Okay. So, but the other thing I wanted to request of the chair of the elections committee, Aki, there's been some trouble making quorum in those meetings, and there's been some changes at the last minute of the meetings, especially with Renee's schedule not matching that of the committee. So I'm wondering if Aki could commit to making the access links available to the entire PNB. I didn't get the last one, although I was on a list of people, directors who had requested to be in that meeting. So I'm wondering if Aki could just make sure the whole LSB, the whole PNB gets that.
Yeah, we'll send it to the whole PNB. That makes sense.
Thank you, Aki. Appreciate that. That's all, Chair.
Thank you. Next up is Vanessa. Go ahead.
Vanessa's not next up because she's already spoken.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. So I'll come back to you, Vanessa. Nancy?
Yeah, I don't normally speak in these, but this is pretty serious. And I was request that the election committee request the NES put notices on the websites. It's kind of hard to catch the phone number and the email address that you're looking for on announcements. Not that they shouldn't be done on announcements as well, but they should also put that information on the Pacifica website and also on all the LSB websites of how to get a ballot if you didn't get one.
No, that's a good suggestion, Nancy. Thank you. Next up is
Beth hasn't spoken.
Well, I was going to say Teresa's already spoken. Beth, go ahead.
Sorry.
Thank you. Yes, I've been waiting a while. the elections committee that was scheduled for yesterday didn't actually ever make a quorum, and so they were not able to convene, even though by the time they stayed together and talked for quite a while, and ultimately there had been enough people who would have made quorum if people had stayed. But it's not the first time that this committee and several other committees have failed to make quorum this year. It tends to happen more in committees that are scheduled on an ad hoc basis. So the time changes, the day changes, when the access information changes, that's also an issue. And so I want to encourage everyone who was voted onto that committee, please to take the commitment seriously enough to set aside time. And I'd like to encourage the committee, please, to schedule on as regular a basis as possible, and maybe for someone, whether it's the secretary or the chair or whoever, to call around in advance to be sure that people are aware that there is a meeting and how to find people.
90 seconds.
Thanks. So now the people whose hands are up are people who've already spoken. So unless there's somebody else who. Okay. So Vanessa, 60 seconds.
Okay. Thank you. So the other issue of concern about the election, this is a concern about how the election supervisor is conducting or has conducted one aspect of this. And I say that, although she has been helpful to me, although I protected myself by having everybody email me, I was copied on everything. So I had my own documentation. But the problem is a deadline is a deadline. So if the deadline to become a candidate or to nominate a candidate was July 6th at midnight, there were people who were not allowed to be certified because they submitted their information by the stipulated deadline. But if the election supervisor didn't have time to get to it, then she just said, well, you were late, you can't do it. That's not adherence to a deadline. That's not anybody's reasonable understanding of what a deadline is. And it will affect the outcome of the election because there are people who were not certified. That is a concern.
Thanks, Vanessa. That's the first time that I've heard that, that it was submitted, not that, and that the delay was solely at the NES's, doorstep. So, we'll look into that. Dingman.
All right. Since we're assembled here today, I'd like to make a motion because it's my understanding that the NES ultimately has the decision-making power in this process. Is that correct, Julie, about the elections, any kind of changes in how tactically the elections are done? Is that correct?
Well, the NES has the ability, I mean, is charged with supervising the elections. I mean, I don't think that's all unfettered right. power, but go all ahead.
Right. All right. I make a motion that immediately – the National Election Supervisor Institute measures to increase the voting in the stations that are not making quorum. And that would include measures such as increasing the amount of candidate debates and making sure that there is a 24/7 rotation of carts aimed at increasing voting.
60 seconds.
That's it. And I make that motion.
Point of information. Am I supposed to be, when somebody makes a point of information, does that stop the clock? How do you want me to handle that?
I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head.
We'll just let it ride then.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't realize there was a point of information in there somewhere.
I wasn't making a point of information. I started with a point of information. You're right, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so Dingman put a motion on the floor. Is there a second to Dingman's motion?
Second.
Adriana seconds. All right. So now folks,
point of order.
The only thing that we talk about
Madam Chair.
I'm sorry, Adriana.
Time.
I'm sorry. Okay, gotcha.
Point of order.
Thank you. I'm not used to Adriana being the timekeeper, so I didn't realize that's the point you were making. Go ahead, Nancy.
Yes. Could Jim send that in email to everyone so they know what they're voting on, know exactly what they're voting on?
I blurted it out. I think we understand the gist of it. I'll try to write it up quickly. The main thing is just that I don't think we should wait on delaying this issue to be resolved. We should take measures today. I'll write something out quickly.
Yeah, I got part of it down.
But it was very complicated. I don't think I
Hang on. Okay, so what I'm going to do is start calling on people to speak to I'm sorry. Adriana points out that we're at time. So that was, we'd already extended for 10 minutes.
Within 5 minutes, Madam Chair.
Yeah. That's a good suggestion. So there's a motion on the floor to extend for 5.
Seconded.
And seconded. Are there any objections to the motion to extend for 5? Hearing none. Five more minutes. Okay. I'll start calling on people, to discuss Dingman's motion while we work to get the actual wording in
my hand is actually up. It disappeared again.
I can you were up before. So you were up before Darlene. Do you, are you speaking to?
I would like to actually speak to something. Go ahead. Let me start my clock myself. Start. Yeah, come on. Okay. We have made a number of motions to the NES, and it seems to me that those are futile, that the NES is entirely in charge, and I don't know why we're wasting our time making another motion that's going to be ignored and that has no authority or power. That's all I had to say, 17 seconds.
Point of information? As I'm writing this?
Pardon?
Point of information?
Go ahead, Dingaman.
Could I respond? Well, yeah, I agree with that, Fred. The problem is that...
Not a point of information. Sorry.
Well, I want to go back to the money issue. The money issue is something that was raised earlier.
No.
All right. Got it. Okay.
You want to speak. You don't get to answer every question just because it's your motion. Fred spoke. Darlene?
Yeah, there have been a number of emails in the last couple of days, just the last couple, 2 days, I think, in which the NES has answered a number of questions, and she made it very clear. She makes the decisions about the election. She makes no decisions because she has no authority to talk to the GMs or tell anybody what to do about campaigning or anything. All I could say is that KPFA, every other hour at least, I have not listened to 24 hours at a time, but every other hour at least, Herkart is at the top of the hour to tell people a number of things that people are bringing up here as not knowing. So the NES cannot tell general managers or program directors what to do. The PNB tells that.
To the general managers.
Yes.
Thanks, Darlene. So next up, Vanessa.
So I guess my point is kind of along the same line as the last two speakers, which is, what is the authority of the election supervisor to implement these ideas? Because every time I hear her say, that's not in the bylaws, it's not in the bylaws, it's not up to me, you know, station management. And the other thing I wanted to ask Dingaman about his motion is, I get the intent, because something has to be done. It's just a little loosey-goosey. But how can you sort of maybe refine it a little bit to make it more even across the board, not increase the number of parts or increase the number of debates or forums, but X number at each station, something perhaps more uniform that would be easier to implement?
I just sent it out. Madam Chair, may I comment on that?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm open to whatever ideas people have, because obviously my concern is I don't want to have a costly 1 week, $3,000 to $4,000 that didn't have to be spent. So that my objective is to, as all of ours, is to figure out how to do that. I'm totally open to rewording it, rewriting it. I don't care. The main thing is to get this done now rather than wait and complain about it 2 weeks from now.
Next up is Teresa.
I'm sorry. So can we have a uniform requirement for making these announcements? Can't the executive director, who meets with the general managers, specifically tell the general managers to do this? And
time again, sorry, Madam Chair.
And tell the general managers that the money's going to come out of their budget if they don't hit the goal for ballots received. Can't we give this to the ED? She meets with the general managers.
I think we can do exactly that. So thank you. And Adriana pointed out that we're out of time again. And Adriana, did you have your hand raised for?
Yes.
To tell me that we're out of time or for another reason?
No, for another reason.
Okay. If we're going to keep talking about election stuff, we need a motion to extend again. Go ahead, Adriana. How much? 10?
Five.
Okay. Is there a second to Adriana's motion to extend for 5?
I second it.
Dingaman. Are there any objections to the motion to extend for 5?
Yes.
Hearing none?
You could just say that I objected.
Okay. Then we'll say, the motion to extend by 5 minutes was approved with one objection. Okay. Okay, go ahead. So 5 more minutes. Adriana, go ahead.
Yes, Madam Chair. It's nobody's looking at the bylaws when we talk about all these issues. I sent to the entire PMB a report from 2016. In 2016, the PMB fired the National Election Supervisor because the National Election Supervisor told the PMB that was unrealistic, the timeline, and they couldn't complete the election in the time. The PMB fired that NES. Now we are saying that the only one that have authority is the NES, but the NES, I mean, always the NES put there the time. She should be sure that the cards are being played. It's not that they don't have the authority. They don't have the authority to order, but they have the authority to put there how the election or the cards should be, and the rotation was always done by the NES and the LESs. This is totally new. We give the authority when we want, and we said, oh, no, we cannot say anything. No, it's not true. And the executive director can tell the general managers what need to be done. Thank you.
Thank you. Hang on. Oh, sorry. I got something caught on my screen. And I can't see you all.
Hands up.
Yep. Go ahead, Dingaman.
All right. So the motion is the PNB asked that the NES, so I'm going to modify this. The PNB asked that the NES and the ED take immediate measures to rectify the lack of quorum at each station during this election period. These measures may include should include all means to increase voting from all stations that have low yields in voting. This may include 24/7 voting cards being played or increasing the number of debates at each station to increase voting. The reason I said, look, I don't want to sit there and hear 2 weeks from now that everybody's complaining, oh, nothing was done. You know, the PNB is the body in the bylaws that has responsibility, the fiduciary responsibility for the whole shebang. And to, you know, put the onus of that onto the GMs. No, we want, in spirit of the having voting period in the system and everything that's been fighting about the voting process. We have to get this done now and can't like loosey goosey let GMs do it. We got to order that this be done. Period.
Thanks, Jim. Okay. So basically your motion is the same as what you sent in email, except that you just said, the PMB asked that the NES and the ED.
Correct.
Okay. So got it.
I actually had my hand up, but it keeps going down.
Go ahead, Fred.
I just want to address Adriana's concern. While the concern is valid, I have to remind everybody that we are in an extreme deadline. We have a court order to actually seat people by a set date And firing the NES is just not going to get us there. That's all. I'm done.
Thank you.
Point of personal privilege, Madam Chair. I didn't say that we should fire the NES. I said that this PMB, a different PMB have different options before. Now we are changing the positions. I didn't say that we should fire the NES. My personal opinion, I can give my personal opinion, but it's not what you just said.
Thank you. Okay.
Madam Chair, I call a question.
Yeah, well, I don't think you have to, because I was just about to say, is there any further discussion? Hearing none. Let's go to the motion itself. Does anybody need me to read the motion again before I ask whether there are any objections? Okay. The PMB asks that the NES and the ED take immediate measures to rectify the lack of quorum at each station during this election period. These measures should include all means to increase voting from all stations that have low yields in voting. This may include 24/7 voting carts, plus increasing the number of debates at each station to increase voting. That's the motion.
Please send it to the secretary, please. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Are there any objections to, excuse me, the motion from Dingman?
Yes.
Madam Chair, we are at time.
Yeah, well, so voting doesn't count against the time clock. So hang on. Let me press send on the email to the secretary. So Darlene wants to object. Are there more objections to Dingman's motion than Darlene's? Then let's record the motion as having passed with one objection. And we are at time on the Elections Committee report. We've extended several times now. So the next item on the agenda is the Programming Committee. This is a 5-minute item. Oh, go ahead, Nancy.
The objection was
Darlene Pagano's.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Next up is the Programming Committee. Heather, this is a 5-minute item.
Yes, thanks, Julie. I just want to mention to everyone, one of the things that we've been discussing at the Programming Committee is having now some national programs, national news programs primarily. So I'm going to ask Jim Dingman, and this was Sue Goodman's idea, which was just really great. So I'm going to ask Jim Dingman to speak briefly about what he's wanting to do along this line, and then this will be followed by Sue Goodman. Go ahead, Jim.
Very simple. We can use the podcast technology now and work with our colleagues within the system and start to deal with, for example, this crazy election process we're in. And I've already lined up engineers to do the work, so I'm ready to go, and I just as soon get other people lined up. It just is ridiculous to be allowing these opportunities to be passed up. So that's something I've been working on for about 3 weeks now. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Sue Goodwin, go ahead with your ideas about this as well, please.
Hello?
Yes.
Go ahead, Sue.
Okay. Jim, thank you. You're right. It's ridiculous. We're producing hours of content every week that should be heard at a national level. And we've been doing it for decades. That's important. And the show I hear in my head is working title. We could call it Truth, Politics, and Power. I have to admit, that's a show I used to produce with Neil Coden and Heather Cox Richardson. With Neil's death, it no longer exists. And it's a great title. but it could be called Pacifica This Week. But imagine a show where every week, 4 to 5 pieces, a couple of them are focusing on things that happened this week. Okay, big news this week, right? Summer. I'm sure you all heard that story. I'm guessing more than a few stations covered that story.
You're breaking up.
Or some aspect. Can you hear me now?
We can
let
hear
me
you.
Take, let me try you. Not using headphones.
Okay.
Is this better?
Yes.
Yes.
Hello? That's better? I went off headphones.
Much better.
Okay, good. So imagine a show. For example, let's say the show were to be next week, and we picked up the storyline of the hottest, the UN, you know, the UN and the Copernicus Institute, hottest summer ever. This heat, that we find more than a couple stories on that, but we don't have to limit ourselves to what we just did in the past week. Bill Richardson died this week. I'm guessing there might be a station that interviewed Bill Richardson at some point in time. We can also dip into our deep archives. So it's simply a matter of knowing what's there, creatively thinking about programming. We could do the back to school edition, et cetera. It could be thematic. It doesn't have to be thematic every week. But what we are, again, is we're drawing on what is Pacifica News doing? What did we just do? What have we done over time? And what makes this work is content's already there. Of course, it would take some work to identify. And I don't know what to do about that. Anyone have a suggestion?
Could you repeat the part about what you don't know what to do about, Sue?
Well, I mean, it will take some effort to identify the content, but that's a matter of efficient systems. And then, of course, you know, everything can't be run. You know, we might have a half hour interview. We want to cut down to 15 minutes, et cetera. And at the end of the day, A, you have great content and you were promoting the Pacific brand. And this is essential. As Jim said, crazy we're not doing it. And the value of this when it comes to around fundraising time, I'm a Pacifica listener. We want people to understand what that means. It's not just their station. They are part of a national programming brand that has been around for decades. And so I'm sorry I haven't gotten further along, because what I'd like to do is actually give you a sample rundown of what a week could be. I've had some personal issues I had to deal with in the past 2 weeks. I hope to resolve them tomorrow.
Go ahead and finish, Sue. Sorry, I got you. Adriana, I heard you. Go ahead,
yeah,
Sue.
I had an issue I've had to deal with, and I'm going to resolve it tomorrow. I'm going to see someone. But I hope you all agree. Once again, the content's there. And it's up to us to figure out what's an efficient formula that lets us pull on it. I want to hear this show. That's what I'll tell you. And we could call it Truth, Politics, and Power. We could call it whatever we want. But let's let our listeners know what Pacifica is, with a show that's really good, that's good listening and an exciting show. So that's one point. And then we turn it into an online product as well, sort of a newsletter type of format where you can click on any piece. And that's the starting place of how we promote our archives online. But we just can't say our archives are there. We need to organize this stuff in a way that is relevant to the current moment and easy for listeners to access.
So thanks so much for that, Sue. I just want to mention to everyone what we've talked about, and this is what Sue was referring to also, is to include all of the Pacifica stations, to get news from all of the stations that we can share, right, Sue, with the whole country.
That's the point.
Yeah, exactly. That's the major point. Exactly. So that's it, basically, Julie. I just wanted to share some of the things we've been talking about doing. And we'll get more information to the board about this as well as we work on this.
Thanks, Heather. Are there any questions for the programming committee?
Heather and I, by the way, are going to meet next week and see how we get this to the next step.
Cool.
Exactly.
Awesome. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Next up is the Strategic Planning Committee. Dingaman, this is a 5-minute report.
All right. Go ahead. All right. First of all, we're going to have a meeting next week on Monday at 8:30. I guess a few things to add. First of all, I want to thank Stephanie and others for the great work that's been done on Alex Steinberg and others to create a draft of a strategic plan. What I have done is synthesize a lot of ideas. I consider it a very, very rough draft. I've gotten some amusing comments about it from all sorts of people. But this is, strategic plan, when you actually implement these kind of things, are things that you do with everybody participating. And so the one disturbing metric that I came across in doing the work is our CUMs since 2008 at all the stations, not just one station, but all the stations have declined. And I'm talking about the metro market CUMs. They've declined between 700 to 400% at all the stations. That's based on our 2008 metro market. What that means is the percentage that we hold in each metro market. And it's declined that much since 2008, which explains practically everything to me as to what's going on right now. So we have a draft. It's to be criticized and torn apart and wrecked and rewritten. And it's a lot. And as I say, Stephanie had a tremendous role in contributing to it. But now it's to be argued about. And I think the most important thing I would say that we have to think about is the stability financially of the whole foundation right now with everything going on. That's to me the most important issue to solve. Anyway, that's my quick report. And again, we're going to have a meeting on Monday, and we'll have more to talk about that that evening. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Jim and the Strategic Planning Committee? Hearing none, we'll move on. Personnel Committee, Darlene, 3 minutes.
Yeah, the Personnel Committee's one had a hard time meeting. It's on top of everything everybody else is already doing, which could be said for just about every committee. The issue of what is an appropriate or sufficient feedback mechanism for this particular position's evaluation is unaddressed or is unanswered. It's not agreed on at the moment. And the other thing is looking at the job description and discussing the job description all along. We have a question about that, but it seems that other directors brought that up at the last PNB meeting. And so I am wildly interested in us taking that up. And that's it.
Any questions for Darlene? And personnel, go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Yes. So did the committee actually meet? And if so, did it make quorum?
It did not make quorum at the last meeting. It had quorum at the meeting previous to that, and it didn't make quorum on the first two meetings. So we're four meetings in now.
And is there a next meeting scheduled, and if so, for when?
It is not scheduled yet. There are some questions I'd like to use to kind of flog the attendance at the committee with, and one of them is any change in Stephanie's job description, and that happens yet. So, no, there is no personnel committee meeting on the KPFTX calendar yet.
Thanks, Beth. Adriana?
Yes, I have a question. Normally, what we use is not a new definition. What normally is being used when you evaluate somebody is the job description when that person was hired, right? This is what we should use for the evaluation, right?
Are you done, Adriana?
I'm asking if that what they will do.
Yes, and that job description is under current discussion before
no,
the MA.
No, my question was different, Darlene. My question was according to any evaluation in any place, even in Pacifica, what you use is the job description what that person was hired.
Adriana, I know that. Adriana, I know that.
That's why I asked, because you talk about new definitions.
The PNB has had the question put up, not by the personnel committee. We are very interested in that discussion.
Okay. Time, Madam Chair.
Thanks. I see Sagerton, Dingaman, and Teresa's hands up. If we're gonna.
5 minutes?
I'm sorry. Yeah. That was a motion to extend for 5 minutes. Adriana?
Yes.
Is there a second to Adriana's motion to extend for five?
Same, second.
Thank you. Any objection to the motion to extend for five?
I object. But you could record me as objecting.
Okay. Are there any other objections to the motion to extend for five besides Fred's? We'll extend for five, over one objection from Fred. Go ahead, Sagerton.
Yeah, thank you. Darlene, as you know, we owe the executive director an evaluation. It was in her contract. It was quite some time ago that we were supposed to give her her first evaluation. Are you in communication with her about her self-evaluation?
Yes.
Thank you. That's all I have. Thanks.
Thanks. Dingaman.
Yeah. I'm a member of that committee, and, I know Darlene's been doing a good job trying to get everybody stewarded together. I think one of the lessons that one's getting from all these different looks, not only at the ED's job, but other jobs, is we really need to, as an institution, have this regularly done. There can't be any more farting around on these evaluations, because, and that goes not only for the ED, but for the GMs, the PDs, everybody. Because this is a process, essentially, that has not really been carried through systematically, at the very least. I'm being very polite on that, throughout the whole system. So it's really important for this to be going on all the time. And further down the tree, by the way, not just the buck stops here people, but down towards the other end of the totem pole too. Because the whole evaluation process in this organization is essentially dysfunctional. If you look at it historically over the past 15 to 20 years, that's one of the reasons why we've allowed a lot of these trends to get out of control to the point that they are affecting us in our ability even to survive. So I think that that's really important to, you know, boom, get this going now. Thank you.
Thanks. Teresa, you're up.
I think it was Jim Sagerton who asked the question about the self-evaluation. So perhaps we'll find out. The reason I thought that we were postponing, one of the reasons why we were postponing the meeting of the personnel was that we were waiting on Stephanie's self-evaluation. So perhaps we'll hear a little bit more about that in executive session, whether she's also received self-evaluations of the GMs. Thank you.
Okay, so that's all the hands I see. So that means we're at the end of the personnel committee discussion. So next up is the development task force. Beth von Gutten, this is a 3-minute item. Go ahead.
Thank you. The Pacifica National Development Task Force, am I unmuted? Do you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, thank you. The Pacifica National Development Task Force held its regular monthly meeting on Monday, August 28th, 2023, with 10 participants. Pacifica Executive Director Stephanie Wells gave an update and took questions. KPFK listener Andrew Weiss and KPFK IGM Michael Novick reported on new efforts at KPFK to increase underwriting. Steve Kaiser, certified financial planner and certified public accountant and local KPFK finance committee member, a longtime development task force member also, made the case for Pacifica to up its game and prioritize planned giving. The next regular meeting of the Pacifica National Development Task Force will be Monday, September 25th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time, as posted to KPFTX. And I'm emailing to the whole PNB and Secretary and ED a report from another nonprofit who works on planned giving. They put out they're now putting out a yearly report on the state of planned giving throughout the nonprofit sector, and I'll be hitting send right about now. So you should all have that in your inboxes momentarily. Thank you.
Thanks. Any questions for Beth and the development task force? All right, moving on. The technology task force. Dingaman, 3 minutes.
Yeah, we're parking all the different talks we've done at a particular website so people can access them. That includes the discussion with the Professor Patterson at Harvard. I should add that they are raising $150 million at Harvard to renovate radio local news, $150 million. So I believe I mentioned that to Stephanie. I don't know how far along that is, but to me, that is something, if you talk about strategically, it'd be very interesting to sit there and try to get a little taste of that money to finance our operations in some way. So I want to throw that out to people. But there's nothing scheduled right now. The election process is now involving everybody in the committee. Thank you.
Any questions for Jim and the technology task force? Hearing none, we'll move on. The next item on the list was the affiliates report. Bill Foster or Heather Gray, do you have anything that you want to report from the affiliates network?
Well, I first want to ask Bill, is there anything that you want to report?
How long, Madam Chair?
Oh, I'm sorry, 5 minutes. Go ahead, Bill.
Bill Foster, is there anything you want to report?
Okay, we met on, I think it was last Monday. What was that, the 28th? with Joan Ross of the affiliates board, the board chair, and myself, Heather, and Ursula. And Ursula reported to us that the audio port system is complete. That project is just about completed, and it is going to be expansion of services to the audio port available to the affiliates and the Pacifica community. And it seems to be an exciting development, and she's going to announce that soon. And Heather, do you have anything else?
Yeah, I want to just mention to everyone, and I'm going to send this out to the board as well. I want to read the statement that that I got from Ursula about this video that she produced. It's sort of a creative idea that some of us in various community radio stations should perhaps consider doing. So she said, introducing you to our 2-minute tour campaign on YouTube. The campaign will take folks to our stations to experience how beautiful and unique we are. To see what we mean, please check out our 2-minute tour of our network office. We are excited to share this with you. As well as introducing us to the world, we also found the making of our tour to be a good team building process. And it also is a great way to engage younger people who are savvy at video and editing. We hope that you will decide to join the campaign by making your own 2-minute tour of our network YouTube channel for our network YouTube channel. If so, please contact me. We have prepared a checklist and instructions. In the meantime, we hope you enjoy seeing our little office. But in any case, I'll send this video to folks, but I wanted to share that with everyone because it might be something that those of us in the various Pacifica stations would be interested in doing as well, to introduce people via video, actually, to our staff, to our station, whatever. So that's it, Julie.
Great, thanks. Jim Dingman, go ahead. It seems like you have the question.
Yeah, I do. I think that it'd be actually terrific if the affiliates, particularly those in Georgia, if we're going to have we don't know how this RICO trial is going to sort out down there, but I think it would be really fantastic to have just Southerners and Georgians taking control of how the coverage is being portrayed in Atlanta in the RICO case against Trump. It could be something just as we know it's going to be more important than Watergate. And so I think it'd be something really terrific if the affiliates took the lead on that one. Thanks.
Thanks for that, Jim. Good idea.
Yeah, I just want to add before we move on to the next item on the agenda that Donna Grimes has joined us, Nancy. So, Donna, if you'd like to speak up.
Hello, Donna. Are you here?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Great. Okay. All right. So, the next item on the agenda is the motion on community advisory boards, which came out of the strategic planning committee. It was a motion that we took up, at our August 17th meeting, and we postponed it to the next meeting, and tonight is the next meeting. Just to remind people, where we were with that motion, two things. I think the motion that was originally posted asked a bunch of questions and asked that these be responded to by the next regularly scheduled meeting of the PMB. That's what it says at the bottom of the agenda. And then just because I copied the motion from the previous agenda, which is how it was drafted, we actually had a motion to amend, which passed. I believe I'm correct about that, right, Nancy?
Yes.
That the motion to amend passed, and the motion to amend said instead of by the next regularly scheduled meeting of the PMB, it said within 30 days. And And so we did pass that. So I need to make note of the fact that what's in the agenda isn't exactly the motion because we already amended it. And then that's what we postponed till tonight. And then again, to remind you of what the discussion was, there were some people who felt that the PNB and governance didn't have any authority over the community advisory boards and their formation. And there were other
Madam
people
Chair,
who
I'm sorry. Felt that, can you tell me the time for this item?
I'm sorry. Hang on. I have to scroll back up. This is a 10-minute item. And then there were other people who felt, if the first thing that I said was that that the CABs don't answer to governance, then there were other people who felt that the CABs don't answer to, station management. And so I think we were basically at something of a crossroads there. And that was kind of the real flavor of the debate that we had when we talked about this motion last meeting. And so what we decided to do was postpone it till tonight. And so that's why it's on the agenda. I actually, think that it makes a heck of a lot of sense because I don't, and I'm just trying to be efficient with our time here. I mean, I think there's merit to both sides of the argument there in terms of whether the CAB, reports to governance or whether the CAB reports to station management. The key thing is that, for CPB funding, to be eligible for CPB funding, we need to have a CAB. What we don't need to do is resolve the question of who they report to. We need to do is have CABs. And so what I actually propose that we would do here is postpone this motion for another meeting, till the next meeting. And that in the meantime, what we do is we ask Stephanie to check in with the GMs at each of the stations to find out as much about each of those questions that's listed in the motion, find out as many answers to those questions as she can as relates to each of the CABs at each of the stations, and that Stephanie would come to the September 21st meeting and give us a report on, status of the CABs at each of the units. So that's my proposal. So having put that out there, I'll recognize people. Dingaman, I see your hand. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's reasonable, Julie. I would just add that people should read the actual statutes because the argument we had last time, obviously some people have never served on community advisory boards or never have read the statutes. So I think that people should read those statutes. I think one of the compromises, I don't want to propose it tonight, was that be it resolved that all local station boards and GMs, I think the way we were going to try to solve it, I thought, was to add other functionaries in there because if you read the statute, but we can get into that, but people have to read the statutes. I'm all in favor of deferring it until the time period you say.
Sagerton, I see your hand.
Yeah, excuse me. I just wanted to recommend to everyone, if you go to KPFTX on the public-facing page right below the Pacifica emblem with the olive branch, and above where you begin the meeting notices, there's a link to the CPB Community Advisory Board page where it describes what community advisory boards are supposed to do, what their rights and responsibilities are. It would be a good idea for everybody to review that prior to the conversation.
Oh, excellent point. It's people have hardly any excuse to not look at that website since it's somewhere we probably all visit quite routinely. Thank you, Sagerton. Beth, you're next.
Yes. Am I muted?
Nope, I can hear you.
No, okay.
Thank you. I have to flip through a couple of pages to go find out. Screens, rather. I'm happy to hear what the executive director wants to report. I'm happy to hear from LSBs what they care to report about their cabs. I still would like to hear directly from the cabs themselves. I think you'll get a different answer, a different perspective from each of those three entities. And I think it's important to know. It's some level of accountability and transparency that I, otherwise, at what point and to whom do cabs report? I mean, if they've already reported up through their LSBs, then maybe that's all we need is that report from the cabs. But I would like to hear from the cabs in their own words what it is they think their mandate is, what they've managed to get done this year, what their plan, their work plan is, how often they meet, how well they're populated, how well attendance is, all of that. Just a reality check, where we stand. Thank you.
Thanks. Dingerman?
Look, we don't even have to have cabs exist right now since we do not have money from the CPB. The whole purpose of creating them was always to give us the ability to ease right into the system. Now, in reality, of course, the cabs have uneven levels of functioning, expertise, et cetera. A lot of attention, I think, has to be paid to making those cabs work a lot better than they do right now, because I could be going into great detail about that, but I'm not going to. So I volunteer to put together a long body of literature, and there's other people who have been on cabs. I think Marianne Martinez was in charge of a cab in Houston, and send it out to people. So there's no ambiguity about it, because very clear who has responsibility for creating
60 seconds, James.
There is no ambiguity about that at all. It's stated in the statute. I volunteer to get that information and send it to people.
Thanks. Adriana?
Yes. I agree. I mean, some of our stations have CAP functioning, and I believe that the CAP people, they are getting all together from different stations. I talked to the CAP at KPFD CAP people, and they told us that they are talking to all the other CAP members from all the other stations. I think that will be really interesting to hear from them. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't see any other hands up. And so maybe at this point I'll make a formal motion to postpone this item until the meeting of the 21st. Can I get a second?
Second.
Thank you, Fred. Discussion of the motion to postpone? Hearing none, are there any objections to the motion to postpone? Hearing none, we'll consider this item postponed until the next meeting's agenda, which brings us to the next item on the agenda, which is a 10-minute item, and it is the ED report and Q&A. Stephanie.
Thank you. I sent out the ED report to everybody, or Julie sent it out to everybody today, and some of it was a recap of what was talked about last time, because people were asking for certain phrases or what they can say in response to some questions that they may have received. So on that report is regarding the California nonprofit registration. Is that some people had been concerned that it was still saying delinquent on the website, which it does still say delinquent on the state website. But there is a statement in the ED report that, you know, in July of 2023, we were informed that the extension to file our audit was granted, but then at that same time, they also let me know that the incorrect form had been sent in for the state registration and we still owed $175 because the old registration fee, the old form stated it was a $400 fee, but the current form, it's a $575 fee. So I reached out to the state, they sent the corrected updated form, the $175 was paid. We have a copy of that canceled check, but we just, it hasn't been updated on the website yet. So even though it says delinquent, it is not delinquent. So again, on that ED report, you can see that comment. There's also a copy of the email that was sent out to the general managers and the division directors regarding the indemnity release of liability waiver that was voted upon in the closed session of August 17th PNB meeting. And as soon as you guys voted on that, I sent out the email with the form to the GMs and the division directors, and they have been using that on a regular basis, scanning the signed copies and sending that to Markeisha and myself, and then they've been keeping those files also easily accessible in each of their facilities. I've also been receiving some emails forwarded of or links to blogs, different newsletters and such that have been floating around saying that the we are looking to combine all station and division bank accounts into one single bank account. Although we are looking to consolidate our banking, it is not true that we are putting all the money into one single account. What we want to do is that each division will have their own bank account within the same bank. We are not merging all the accounts into one. Each division will have the same access to accounts that they have now. There will be no, you know, the business managers will still have work to do. They'll still have their jobs. We're just trying to save fees and consolidate everything into one bank, not one bank account. So I, with the help of some LSB members that, I mean, with some PMB members that also brought these comments to my attention, we have been able to quell hopefully some of these rumors, but there is the statement right there in case anyone needs it. There's also the IRS link. I had been requested to ask, requested to send a link also to the accounting for the value of volunteer hours as income. And so I added that into this ED report as well, which is basically that the value of volunteer time can be included as an in-kind donation on financial statements and such, also the financial statements used for grant proposals and annual reports. But we cannot, and volunteer time can only be counted if the volunteer performs a specialized skill for the nonprofit that we would have had to pay for if the services had not been donated. It is still very important for all that we keep count of all of our volunteers and the hours that everybody puts in, including with meetings, because that is very impressive when we're talking to major donors and also foundations of the dedication of the volunteers that we have. So we greatly appreciate that, but there is a link to the IRS statement regarding that. I also received a director's inspection request for the insurance cancellation notices. Received that on Tuesday with the request that all of those forms be sent in according to that director's inspection request by Friday, which is tomorrow. I have attached all of those cancellation notices as requested to the ED report. So everyone has that, even though it was the director's inspection from one person. I assume that if there's a director that's requesting something that all the directors should be able to see that as well. The WPFW lease extension was signed prior to the August 31st deadline. The renewed lease is attached and that has been forwarded to the head of the relocation committee at WPFW. Everything remains the same for the audit. We don't have the funds to pay the audit firm, which is $75,800. But we are, you know, ready to start that audit whenever we're ready to pay for that. And again, the California Secretary of State has to agree to extend the deadline for the audit submission due to our inability to pay for it. I have been getting quite, both Markeisha and myself have been getting quite a few emails for some time now regarding the Employee Retention Credit Program that is through the IRS. We do not, as an organization, qualify for that. I've had conversations with individuals who have said they could help us, whether they're a marketing department or, you know, companies that are kind of branching out to help nonprofits get that credit. But I've gone straight to the IRS to kind of ask questions as to whether we are eligible or not. And I have all the information, including links to the IRS website in the ED report. But basically, the only tax-exempt organizations that qualify are those that were shut down by a government order due to the COVID-19 pandemic during 2020 or during the first three calendar quarters of 2021. So although there are quite a few emails that are going out to people in general from companies that say we can help you get that credit, according to the IRS, we do not qualify. And I don't want to put us in a situation where we are using one of these organizations and having them tell us that we qualify. They take usually 20% of what that amount is that you get. The IRS will give you the money and then maybe audit, you know, your application later on down the road. Just like if you submit your taxes now, you may not get audited until 5 or 7 years later. And I don't want us to just take the money now and then get audited a few years down the road and have the IRS tell us once again that we were not eligible to have that and that we would have to repay the credit along with substantial interest and penalties. So we, you know, have looked into that multiple times, but we do not qualify for that. As far as our loans, the FJC and the EIDL loan, we are still behind in paying the interest payments on both of those. Currently, we owe approximately $142,000 in interest to FJC, and we owe approximately $43,000 to EIDL. We are in conversations with both of those organizations to try to work something out with them, and I can keep you updated as that moves on. In the past, we did receive a notice that the EIDL, the Small Business Association, was looking to move us into collections from the U.S. Treasury Department. I have yet to receive a notice that that has happened. The most recent statement that we received just 2 days ago basically said that this is a problem loan, so contact SBA right now because relief may be possible. So both Markeisha and I have been reaching out to them each day, multiple times a day, to try to connect with a human and be able to work out any sort of payment plan or extension for that. The LA property update, we are still showing the building to potential buyers. We do have two offers that were on the table. They've been on the table for a while and they are still active. They are much lower than what we would anticipate trying to sell the building for. One was for a purchase price of $4 million. 30-day close of escrow was 30 days, and they would allow us to lease back the entire property for 2 additional months following the close of escrow at $34,100 per month. The other is a purchase price of $4.1 million with close of escrow 60 days from the waiver of contingencies. We counter-offered both of those at a higher rate. Both of those counter-offers were declined. And as I said, we're still showing the building to potential buyers. We had a showing yesterday. We have another one next week. There's also a section in the ED report of the delegate elections that basically, again, has the contact information for the National Election Supervisor, the election website, and the FAIR campaigns provision assistant, Craig Dunkerley. And again, just a reminder that we did have two donors that covered the first of the three payroll payments for the NES. The national office covered the second payroll payment to the NES. One donor is covering the payroll expenses for the FAIR campaign's provision assistant, and we still have people that are actively asking the LSBs and the PNB for making a donation to help cover those costs of the election. So many thanks to everybody on the LSBs and to the PNB that have made those donations and have continued to reach out to individuals to help. To date, we have raised approximately $5,600. Anyone have any questions?
Madam Chair, we are at time.
Okay.
It's exactly 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, got it. So Thank you. So we're going to need an extension of time, if people are, to be able to ask, Stephanie questions. And I see, five hands. So,
extend for 10 minutes.
Extend for 10 minutes. And Adriana, did you want to second that?
Yes.
Thank you. Are there any objections to extending for 10 minutes? Hearing none. We're extended for 10 minutes. I have Vanessa, then Fred, then Dingaman. Go ahead, Vanessa.
Just wanted to ask Stephanie about putting all of the accounts in one bank. So I hear the reasoning to save on fees, but I guess I thought that the fees are not necessarily per bank, but per account. So understanding that fees can vary from bank to bank. Are the fees not per account? Is this a bank that has lower fees? Is there anything that's being lost? Say, for example, someone's had an account for 10, 20 years or something at a particular bank. So there's certain benefits or privileges, that account holder would get, you know, by virtue of their longevity. Is anything being lost?
There isn't anything that is being lost from the conversations that we have had with various banks. We've looked at the top 15 banks as, you know, as recommended, for nonprofits. One of the things that we narrowed it down to two, and a lot of it people need to remember that we need to have banks that are easily accessible and located where we have, all of our divisions, including the affiliates, which is in Iowa. So that narrowed it down to two banks. And then from that point, we broke it down to who would provide us with the lowest possible fees for a nonprofit, who had the ability to provide us with the highest number of free transactions, and just the lowest fees based upon, again, us being a nonprofit. So there isn't a charge per account. There are minor fees per account, but there's also, I mean, it would be less expensive than the fees that we are paying now with each of the divisions having an individual bank, including any sort of wiring fees. Now, when we have individuals at different banks that are sending money over for payroll, which is happening two times a month, we have to pay a wiring fee. And we also have the delay of that money reaching the payroll bank account. And then we also will be a lesser amount. We'll be able to decrease our credit card processing fees. And we would also then be able to open up yet our stock ability to receive stocks. So in the big picture, it is saving us money in the long run.
Thanks. Fred, you're next.
How is this one bank going to impact us in terms of signatories? And will there be any signatories that can take money out of any account rather than just the account that is associated with the LSB or with the local station?
It wouldn't impact us. The main signatories right now on the bank are Julie and the co-chair and the secretary. And so that wouldn't change. People that are at each of the divisions, they would still have their signatories that are available to deal with the bank. The business managers or the general managers at each of the stations, whoever has that signatory ability at the bank would still continue to have that. They would still, you know, what the plus is that Markeisha and myself would be able to have easier access to just view what is in the bank, what is in each of the accounts, and we would be able to pull those monthly statements on a timely basis or at any given moment and then reconcile those bank statements rather than having to wait for each of the business managers to do it. So we would actually help be relieving some of the work that they're doing.
Excellent.
Thanks. Point of order. What rules being broken, Teresa?
I'm just concerned that we're an open session and we're kind of going into such detail that we're talking about how we are weighing contracts that we're making. And we're like telling the world, well, you know, we have very few choices because we want this and this and this. So that like, anyone listening to this would say, you know, we kind of have these people over a barrel here. I just wonder if we need to really go into such detail on some of these things. If you could imagine that maybe these vendors were listening in on these conversations. Just a thought.
Thanks, Teresa. I think Stephanie's been careful not to mention any of the vendors, and I appreciate the fact that people are not asking her to name vendors. So any rate, I hear your point, but I think we're staying on this side of the line, so I think we're okay. And we can talk about this more in closed session if you like, but I do think, I mean, one of the things that I think people need to kind of understand, you know, is that, you know, like Stephanie said, we pay, wiring fees every time we have payroll and, you know, it's like, in some sense, I think we would be much better stewards of our donors' money, our listener member donor funds, you know, by not paying it to, banks for the purpose of wiring funds, but instead, you know, putting it towards the good stuff that we do, right? That's what our donors want us to do is, you know, keep the lights on, pay the rent, pay the tower rent, you know, send electricity to the tower so our signals go out, you know, those kinds of things. So I think that's what our donors are interested in. So anyway, so it's important for us to talk about this at least to some degree, I think, to, you know, in broad ways in open session. Dingaman, you're next.
Well, yeah, I agree, Julie. It's no secret that we owe millions of dollars. So why should we hide that? And I also look at I'm looking at the current statistics about vacancy rates in LA, which are 23%. So that certainly explains why that building hasn't moved at all. And actually they've been getting lowball prices. My question is one, what you can say in open session about how we're dealing with the vendors, which is something perhaps that goes in areas that Teresa's talking about. But, and also I understand some money came in recently from New York. I know that there's possibly more money from Los Angeles, but how, in terms of dealing with the FJC and all that, where are we at with them as much as you can say in open session about that? And also the EIDL loan, because, you know, you could have the Treasury Department, as I understand you're on top of that, you're trying to deal with that. But the FJC loan, of course, what can you talk in open session about that, the handling of it? And then finally, it's good that Aki got that information regarding the insurance. But I should add that, as you know, last year we passed a motion to get the financial data from the stations in detail. Fred came up with a motion recently about that too. And are we getting any detailed information from the stations as to how they're earning the money?
90 seconds.
In a regular manner. Or does one have to put in a director inspection request to get that information?
With FJC, there's still some conversations that we need to have with them, and those conversations will take place with Arthur, Julie, and myself. So that's pretty much all I'll say about that in open session. As far as how the stations are earning the money and how each program is doing, I have to give a shout out actually to KPFA and to Maria and Antonio for putting together and creating a wonderful spreadsheet that breaks down each of the programs, how much money they're bringing in, how much money it costs, and breaking it down also with the, by volunteer supported or volunteer programmers or non-paid staff programmers and then paid staff programmers and taking that in consideration as well. So he did share that with the general managers at our last general manager meeting. And he, once they kind of work out a couple of the other formulas with it, then we're going to roll that out with the rest of the general managers. But as he said, it's a very, it's a timely process to fill in those numbers, but it's will prove to be extremely helpful because what a lot of the programmers don't sometimes take into consideration is the cost of the premiums, the cost of the mailing out of the premiums, you know, those kind of things. So this is a very detailed spreadsheet that they've put a lot of time into creating and are more than willing to share that with the rest of the stations.
All right. Could I just respond? WPFW already has that kind of data. Jim. I've actually seen it.
Don't get to respond, Jim. You've got to
again. But wait. You know, we've had motions about this for 2 years now. The information is, I've seen the information from PFW. BAI has that information. So I don't understand why we're not getting that information here at the PNB to look at. Anyway, thank you.
Thanks.
Chair, we are at time. We need to add time.
Okay. I see two more hands on the stack. I see Adriana and Darlene. Would you like to make a motion?
Extend it?
Hang on. Let's try making a motion to extend to exhaust the stack.
5 minutes. To exhaust the stack. Okay.
Exhaust the stack. Thank you, Fred. Is that a second, Adriana?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. Any objections to the motion to extend to exhaust the stack? Hearing none. Go ahead, Adriana.
Okay. I will ask all the questions. If you don't understand, you know, something that I can explain it again. The first one, I will ask all together and you answer in the way that you want. The first one is, we know that we don't have the money for the audit, but are the station, because every station know from every year what they should have ready for the audit. Are we sure that the stations are working on that? And in the moment that we have the money, the audit will be just like a breeze because everybody have everything complete. That is one of the questions. The second one is how many accounts, bank accounts, the foundation have. At some point in time, we have 26 that I remember. And you are not a signatory in any of these. You said that, for what I heard, Julie, Heather, and Nancy are the signatory in all the accounts. If it's like that, what happened when the PNB changed? We need to change again. And the last one, that's okay. That will be enough for now.
We are ready for the audit. Markeisha, the national business manager, has been working with our auditors even prior to us paying them with a timeline and a list of what we need. And she's worked with the business managers. And so we are ready for it. They are ready for it. As far as how many bank accounts do we have, each station, we don't have that many. Each station has either one or two. And the reason another station would have two is that we do open temporary restricted accounts when there's funds that come in that need to be restricted for a certain use. And then those are just temporary accounts that can be opened and then immediately closed. As far as the changing of the signatories, that's one of the big things that we were talking about when we were talking with each of the different branches. And Julie and I have talked about this as well, is that one of the things that we want to put in a board packet when we get new board members that are coming in is that they also do the process to sign that we renew those signatories. A lot of banks don't like the idea of changing a signatory every year. But as we were speaking with different banks, those were the things that we said that we need to do and that we are required to do. And would they be willing to work with us on that? And would they be willing to not have to deal with just the wet signatures that were FedExing all across the country, but if they would be able to do digital signatures? The banks that we have been talking with, some said yes, some said no. So those are things that we have been looking at for quite some time now.
Do you and Markeisha have access to all the accounts from all the stations?
View access, yes.
Thank you.
And I'll just add, in case there's anybody who's concerned, I mean, I think, you know, the reason to have other people like myself as the signatory on the account, or the one account anyway, is that Stephanie can't sign her own payroll check, right? So that's the reason. It's, you know, basically segregation of duties kind of thing. So anyway,
that's against the law. So there's, you know, you can't have, as Julie said, you cannot have a person who is on a payroll be able to sign a check that would be their own payroll.
Right. Darlene, you're up.
Yeah, Julie, it's going to be about insurance. thank you so much for sending that unbelievable ream of paper. I don't usually print out the ED report, but somehow this week I decided to do it. My printer ran out of paper. So just saying, but thank you for all this, for all of this. So I do see that we now have a pre-renewal summary for all the stations, and the one I'm the most worried about is, well, what has to happen besides having the money? What has to happen to sign up again for all these types of insurance? And October 1st is the workers' comp renewal. We will not have workers' comp on October 1st. So do you have a ballpark figure yet on what this package is going to cost? And so what can I say? And are you allowed to pick and choose as the finances may demand?
As far as insurance, the broker, thankfully, has worked with Pacifica for almost a decade now, and he is very eager to continue to work with us. But the concern are the insurance companies, because this isn't the first time that insurance has been canceled for lack of payment. So we're kind of making our way through different insurance companies, and many of them don't want to provide us with insurance because we haven't paid for it in the past. We have had groups that have said they would cover us, but we'd have to pay for all of it up front with an additional 25%. We've had two different companies say that, just to guarantee that payment would be made and coverage is there. So right now, I think what we need to do is figure out what it is that we need and then see if the broker can find anyone that would be willing to cover us and take the, you know, take that leap of faith that we will pay them.
And do we have a ballpark on the package that the 90 seconds, darling.
A couple $100,000.
Mm. Thank you.
Madam Chair, Adriana?
We're at, we exhausted the stack, I think. So that means we're technically at time. Right. So.
No. What I'm saying is the agenda said that at this 5 minutes ago, 6 minutes ago, we were supposed to, if I'm certain, for executive session, right?
It does say that. I will note that we have Arthur Schwartz with us now, and he only has an open session report. Am I right, Arthur? Not a closed session report tonight.
Right. Can we stand it? How long do you think that we will need?
So I think we should extend for 20 minutes to Arthur. Does that sound reasonable for your report and some questions?
I only have good news, and it isn't going to take very long.
Okay. So
20 minutes?
15 minutes then?
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. So a motion to extend the time certain to move into executive session by 11:15.
That would be
20. Almost.
It would be almost 20 minutes, but not quite. But just okay. So Adriana moved. Is there a second?
James, second.
Thank you. Are there any objections to the motion to change the time certain to 11:15? Hearing none, we'll consider that accomplished. Arthur, you're up.
Okay. So I only wanted to report because I have good news. No new lawsuits that I know of. We're in the middle of there are three bequests. I think I've mentioned some of this before. WBAI, we just finished a month and a half of negotiating with an executor who I'm sure runs up his bill. And they got a they got a check yesterday for $189,000-ish dollars from this, the Bolton, I think his name, I'm not sure his name is John, but 11, I believe, took all these years to get. The trust has made us payments over the last couple of years, and this isn't the last one. So that money was deposited in their bank account yesterday. There is a bequest to KPFK for $400,000, in a very poorly written will, which, probably written by someone out of a kit, even though they were worth millions of dollars. And it says that, they will their house, in a fairly well-to-do area of Los Angeles. And I don't remember the name of it. Maybe the Bayless area. And, and it says, and the person who getting the house shall donate $400,000 to KPFK. So that person, is taking the position that she can live in the house, and then when she dies and sells it, that $400,000 goes to KPFK. So the executor is on our side to get the money immediately, and we hired counsel in Los Angeles, a really excellent estate lawyer who isn't asking for any money up front, only if he succeeds in getting us the money. And we're in court about that. I believe that the next date when it'll get argued in front of the judge is October 15th. So that's good news for KPFK and Pacifica. And then there's another bequest to KPFA, that's also bound up in some very crazy, efforts by it's very hard to explain. There was like two wills. It isn't clear which will applies. If one of the wills applies, KPFA gets a whole bunch of money, like $200,000 or $300,000. If will number two applies, they may get less. So I'm using the same lawyer that we're using in Los Angeles to engage in that litigation on our behalf, so that KPFA can get that money. That's a bit more complex, and but hopefully in the end there's a couple of $100,000 going to KPFA there. And then the last thing I have to report is, if people want to watch, I'm going to argue the Verniel appeal in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on November 14th. November 14th of this year. It's scheduled for 9 a.m. In the federal courthouse in San Francisco. And I'm not going to do it virtually. I'm going to go there. So I'll get to meet Fred in person and everybody else from KPFA who I've never met except on a screen. That's my report.
Thanks, Arthur. I see Sagerton has his hand. Go ahead, Jim.
Memo line check for the $189,000 bequest for WBAI said partial payment. And I heard you say something about whether it was the last payment or payment in full. Where does that stand?
No, there's going to be more. There's going to be at least one more similar size payment somewhere, they told me, in the next year. And so the money in the trust is not all distributed yet. So, the estate went through all this litigation because the guy was working at some university, maybe at Cornell, and he invented something and patented it. And so the various universities he worked at were suing him for the right to the patent, and stuff had to be settled along the way. But there's still more money, and there's going to be they said at least one more similar payment in the next 12 months.
quick follow-up, Arthur. Was that an interest payment, or is that a payment of the principal of what's due?
Principal.
Thank you.
Fred, you're next. Sorry. I didn't realize I was muted.
Contingency fee is on the estate lawyer.
The what?
The contingency fee is that we're paying to the lawyer who's litigating
I believe what we signed was an hourly.
Oh, okay. So it's an hourly rate. What was the hourly rate?
600.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for Arthur? All right.
I'm sorry. I couldn't unmute. I do.
Yeah, go ahead, Darlene.
This may be to the whole PNB on top of Arthur. There was some discussion when I first came onto the PNB as to where or how bequests are allocated. And I don't know if there was a part of the discussion was above a certain level or what. Is that still rumbling around in the background?
You know what? I would rather discuss that issue. And it's not pressing, but it's not something I think I know what you're talking about, Darlene, and I don't want to talk about it because I would have to talk about names of that within Pacifica. I believe the way that it works is if a station gets a bequest, it gets a bequest. And if they owe money, they pay some of that money to National.
Okay. Agreed. Thank you.
Thanks. Any other questions for Arthur? Thank you, Arthur. Go ahead, Fred. Oh, go ahead.
I want to say one other thing. When I hear this discussion about the terms of Stephanie's contract, and it's been kicked around, the contract was approved by the PNB at the time was in 2021, I think, 2021 or 2020, the end of 2020.
End of 2021.
The requirement that the executive director, I think what's been talked about is the executive director change program staff.
Freezing, Arthur, without freezing.
You're breaking up. You're breaking up. And I want to hear every word.
Your video's frozen.
Executive director did not take a vote of the board and took a station off the air, changed the programming, and fired everybody.
Arthur, can I suggest you shut your video off? Whoops.
Well, it looks like
I'm back.
Okay.
Could we ask that he repeat this story from the beginning because it's important and we didn't hear enough for more people to hang together.
So that clause came out of the experience that we had in October 7th, 2019, where the executive director, without a vote of the board, decided to take a station off the air, change the programming, and fire 100% of the staff, not just the GM, but everybody, and including the union people. And so that clause comes out of that experience, so that the board would have to be consulted before any action like that was ever taken again. So when you're considering whether we don't need it, just remember the turmoil of I don't want to get into a debate about it now, but remember the turmoil of October 2019 and November 2019.
Other questions for Arthur?
No, but I had a point of information.
Oh, yes, you had a point of information. Sorry, go ahead, Fred.
I need a bio break.
Oh, Yeah.
I'm gone. Bye. I have a trial tomorrow.
Yeah. Goodbye. Thank you, Arthur. Appreciate it. Go ahead, Teresa.
Just a general question. And maybe you can answer this some other time. With the contract that we have for the ED, if we have problems at a station.
Arthur's gone.
Oh, well, great. Okay. Never mind.
No, ask your question and I'll ask Arthur later. If you
Well,
ask
maybe
me.
We should just, maybe I'll bring it up then in executive session.
Okay. Gotcha. So that's the end of that item on the agenda. That puts us at the unfinished business, new business, and then motion to move into executive session. I'm sorry, Adriana.
So moved to executive session.
Thank you. Is there a second to Adriana's motion to move into executive session?
Second.
Thank you, Vanessa.